to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
So tonight, our title of our lesson is Effective Prayer. Effective Prayer, and it will be 2 weeks worth of lessons. We're going to do a little bit of a review of last week to kind of introduce our topic for tonight. But I want to ask you a question first. Have you ever been involved in a time of prayer, either just you and God, or maybe gone to a prayer meeting, maybe one of our women's prayer meetings or men's prayer meetings or one of our Sunday night prayer meetings, and you left that time of prayer saying, that was a really great prayer time? You ever felt that way? Yeah, okay. What made you feel that way? And there may be a number of different answers. What is it that enables you to leave a time of prayer, again, whether it's just you and God or in a prayer meeting, and why is it that you would say, oh, that was a great prayer meeting? What is it about that time that leads you to say that? Bruce?
It was vertical.
It was what?
Vertical.
It was vertical.
Relationship.
Okay, so you just felt like there was a connection vertically with God. Okay, you feel a connection. All right? Why else would you respond saying, that was a great prayer time? Verissa? The move of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? No, that's a good answer. But I'm just saying, how do you know the Holy Spirit's moved?
Because you can feel the wind.
Because you can feel wind. Okay, you can feel His presence. I know the Holy Spirit is referred to and compared to a wind. So you just feel that presence like a wind in your midst. Maybe not a physical wind, although there was one on the day of Pentecost, or at least a sound like it. All right. Lisa?
Sometimes you go in with a burden, light.
Okay, so it's feeling related, but feeling specifically because the burden you had has been lifted. All right, good. John?
Well, I was basically saying, somebody gets a breakthrough.
A breakthrough, which is a poetic way of saying what?
A person is baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
A person confesses healing.
Okay, some kind of observable, experienceable answer or experience with God. Okay, good. Anyway, what other answers you might have? Any? All right. Well, the reason I bring that up is because if we leave a prayer time saying that was a great prayer time, and I can relate too. You know, we have the once a month Sunday night prayer meetings, and most every time I go and say, man, that was a really great prayer time. And I got to think, why do I say that? You know, what is it, what's the standard I'm using to judge whether it's a great prayer time? All right? And that fits along with the idea of effective prayer. If it's a great prayer time, we'd probably say, well, our prayer was effective. How do we know our prayer was effective? Now, let me just say a couple of things that came to mind when I was just meditating on this and why I wanted to answer this question is first of all, it should be more than feelings. Now, feelings are involved and feelings are great. I love going into a prayer time and coming out feeling a lot better. All right? But you know, feelings come and go up and down. And how many of you know God can do stuff, and it may not change the way you feel, but God's done something, right? How many of you know you can have a change of feeling, and nothing's really happened? It's just you feel better about it, which is a good thing, you know? Even if you've prayed about something, you don't see the answer yet, but like Lisa said, the burden is lifted. That's faith. That's saying, okay, I don't see the answer yet, but I'm trusting God, and God's lifted that burden. So that's a good thing. But I believe that in most cases, it's going to be more than just feelings. I also believe it's more than just results, although it includes results. And the reason I say it's more than just results, we're not going to read it, but there's a passage in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, where Jesus says that there will be people who will come before God, and God will say, I don't know you. And say, well, wait a minute. You know, we did great things in your name. We saw people healed and demons cast out. And it doesn't mention prayer, but I'm assuming prayer's involved. And God says, you may have seen all those things, but I don't know you because you didn't really have a relationship with me. Okay? You didn't do my will. And so, you know, we can have a prayer experience and things can happen, but yet it's still not all that it can be or should be. All right? So it should be more than feelings. And not just results, although feelings and results are a very, very important part of that. Not negating that or minimizing that at all. On your note sheet, the first thing I have here is effective prayer is about relationship, not just results. Effective prayer is about relationship and not just results. We talked about this quite a bit last week, and many times when I speak about prayer, teach about prayer, we have a discussion about prayer, and that prayer is so much more than just asking God for stuff. And then feeling like, we had a great prayer time because God gave us what we asked for. Okay? Just like having a great Christmas is a whole lot more than just getting the presents you wanted. Some of you are like, it is? Yeah, it is, you know? So prayer, effective prayer, is about relationship and not just results. Results are important. Again, the feelings, the good feelings, the feeling of the lifting of a burden, the result of a healing or God's presence, as Verissa said, or somebody being filled with the Spirit or some experience with God, all those things are wonderful. Okay? But it's primarily about our relationship with God. Now, just real quick review of last week, we talked about ineffective prayer. Okay? And just going to zip through this so we can jump into new stuff. But some of you weren't here last week. Talking about effectiveness. Something is effective if it does what it was designed to do. A hammer is effective if you can use it to drive nails and secondarily to pull nails out, right? All right. And prayer is effective if it accomplishes what it was designed to do. Now, I would say that God's the one who designed prayer. He's the one that tells us we should pray, all right? And we're following his instructions. And I put this on your note sheet, again, from last week. The primary goal of prayer is not having our requests granted. Now, God tells us to bring our requests. He wants to hear our requests. He wants to meet our needs. But that's not the primary purpose. The primary goal of prayer is to spend time in conversation with our Father. Okay? Again, getting back to that relationship thing. It's not bringing God our wish list or our grocery list of things we need done or want done, but it's about relationship. It's spending time in conversation with our Father. And that's one of the things we're going to dig into tonight is, what does that conversation consist of? Okay? So we'll get back to that. Three types of prayers that Jesus said are totally ineffective. It was from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Prayers that aren't prayed. Okay? Matthew 6, 5, Jesus said, and when you pray. Okay, if you don't pray, your prayers aren't effective because you're not doing it. All right? Prayers meant to impress others. Matthew 6, 5, Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it out there where people can see you so they think you're all spiritual. That was a paraphrase and interpretation of what Jesus was trying to get across. You know, if you do that, then that's all the reward you're going to get. So prayers meant to impress others are not effective. All right? And then the third one is prayers meant to impress or manipulate God. Jesus talked about, you know, you say all these words and you say things over and over and repeat them and without, sometimes without thinking and pile up all these magnificent names of God and it's just like babbling, all right? He says the heathen do that. It's not like some kind of magic formula or you can somehow manipulate God if you say the right words or impress him because you know so many names of God. Not that you can't use those things in your prayers. It comes to motive and why you do what you do. Okay. So those are all things we talked about last week. And if you want to learn some more about that, you can listen to last week's lesson. But let's jump now into the new stuff here, effective prayer. And we're going to be looking primarily at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And so if you've not yet turned there, which I haven't, I just opened up my Bible to where it opened. So Matthew 7. We're taking a lot of this teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching in words about prayer. Matthew 7. All right. All right. We got four different things I've put down here about how and when prayer is effective, and we'll only get through some of them tonight. But the first one is this. Prayer is effective when we come to God as our Father. We'll say that. You might say, well, that's duh. Everybody knows that. Now, I'm not saying come to God and say, Father. I'm saying that we actually come to God wanting to relate to Him as Father. Okay? And using our time of prayer and the act of prayer as relating to Him as Father. All right, and we're going to dig more deeply into this. But it's interesting that when you look at what Jesus says about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is something that I knew and I'd noticed before, but I didn't notice that it's so prevalent. It's like almost every other sentence when Jesus is talking about prayer, he says, Father, 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 Father. Just take a look at that. If you back up from our text, well, first of all, we're in Matthew 7. In our text, in verse 11, it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. So he refers to him as Father in our text. But if you jump back earlier in Matthew 6, where we were last week, Matthew 6, 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father. And prayer is one of those acts of righteousness. You jump down to verse 6. He says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. In verse 8, he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need. Verse 9, he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Verse 14, he says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In verse 15, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And we're going to be reading a little bit later some things about where Jesus is talking about our needs and how we get concerned about that. And of course, we come to God, but Jesus says, your Father, he wants to meet your needs. So over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about prayer in the context of our Father. Again, the point is relationship. That when we come to God in prayer, it's more about relationship than some result we want. Okay? So let's talk about this idea. A little while ago, I said the primary goal of prayer is to spend time in conversation with our Father. So, looking at our earthly relationships, okay? Now, I hope and pray you had a wonderful relationship with your Father. Some of you may not have. Some of you may not even know who your Father was. That's fine. But even if you didn't, we have a general idea of what a Father's supposed to be like, right? Okay, but in relationship to our Father or our mother or whoever it was that raised you, why do we spend time talking to them? Why do we talk to our parents or those people that are close to us? Yvonne. To learn from them. Okay? Why else do we talk to our parents? To get to know them. Okay? Lynn.
It's a form of communion.
Okay. They are in as parents, they are leaders. We commune with them. That's a good word to use, you know, to honor them, respect them. That's good. Verissa?
For knowledge.
For knowledge. Okay. Of course, when we get to a certain age, we think we know more than our parents. But then when we get a little bit older, we realize that we were wrong. Yeah, Barbara. Because we love them. Yeah, we just want to spend time with them, right? Yeah, okay. What are some other reasons why we talk to our parents?
To have a better relationship.
To have a better relationship, yeah. To do what now? Oh, okay, because I've got some good things to tell you. Okay, all right. Lisa? Okay, proper respect for authority, and our relationship with our parents helps us with other authorities, including our relationship with God. Did somebody over here right here? Brother French?
Guidance.
We need guidance. Okay, now, probably because we've been emphasizing so much, do you ever ask your parents to give you something? Did you ever ask your parents to give? Maybe not now, but did you ever talk to your parents because you wanted to give you something? Oh, yeah, okay. You all were avoiding that one because that's the one we're trying to get away from, right? Now, think of all these reasons. Every single one of these reasons are good reasons, and there's probably more we can think of good reasons to have communication, conversation with our parents or our other significant people in our lives, and compare that with prayer. Do we pray for all those same reasons? And do we pray to the same degree and with the same percentages? In words, when we look at our prayers, is it primarily taken up with asking God for stuff? Or is it a good mixture of, I'm asking God for stuff because he wants me to, just like I'll ask my parents if I need something, especially when we're growing up, you know, and they're our authority, you know, and to show them honor and to get to know them and to get wisdom and to get guidance and to learn some things and all that. So if we look at our prayer life, does it have that same healthy balance, assuming we have a healthy balance? If it does, if you don't have a healthy balance with your parents, then you just got to figure out what a healthy balance is. So again, just to emphasize that prayer is effective when we come to God as our Father, wanting to communicate with him as a father, not just to ask him for stuff. Okay? I mean, how would you feel, I've said this before, how would you feel if your children or grandchildren only talked to you when they wanted something from you? You say, that's how I feel all the time. That's all they do. No, I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true. You know, we don't want people that just want to be around us when they can get something from us, right? But if we're not careful, then, you know, we could do that to God. Now, that, it should be kind of understood, but that shows the importance that we do know God as Father. You know, it's kind of a catchphrase, a saying that goes around, well, God is everybody's Father. No, He's not. God is the creator of everyone. But the Bible says that God is only Father to those who've accepted Jesus Christ. Okay? And so it's very, very important that God is our Father. You know, how would you feel if you're at home one day, there's a knock on the door, you go answer the door, and there's the kid from down the street. And he says, hey, listen, I'm hungry, would you give me some food? Now, you know, we're loving, caring people. It's like if we really felt like he had a need, and we'd give him some food. Oh, good, good, good. How about some clothes? It's a little strange here now. But you know, if he doesn't have any clothes, maybe the poor, okay, I can, will you buy me a car? How about sending me to college? No. But will you try to do all those things for your kids? Sure. And just a little thought here that, you know, when we come to God as Father, as a good Father, He wants to meet the needs of His children, and He will. But if you're not His child, there's no obligation there. Now, God, because of His grace and His mercy and love, He blesses and does all kinds of things for all kinds of people, even if they don't believe in Him and they reject Him. But again, that it's all about relationship. Okay? So, as we talk about this, prayer is effective when we come to God as our Father. One aspect of that is letter A on your note sheet, seeking to grow in our relationship with Him. Seeking to grow in our relationship with Him. If we want to have effective prayer, all right, then we come to God as Father, and one of our primary reasons, hopefully the primary, is I just want to grow in my relationship with God, okay? I want to build that relationship. I want to strengthen that relationship. That was, you know, several of the answers that were given earlier. Why do we spend time with our parents, talk with our parents, either growing up or even today if your parents are still alive? Mine are, you know. And, in fact, they'll be listening to this Bible study tomorrow night. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Anyway, so they do that every Thursday night. So anyway, you know, I call them almost pretty much every week, and we spend time together on vacation and stuff, and we just enjoy just sitting and talking. It builds, it strengthens that relationship, and it's the same way with our relationship with God. And there's so many verses. I only put four of them on your note sheet here. Proverbs 8:17. God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Okay? Jeremiah 29:13 is a very popular passage. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29, God gave this through Moses before the Israelites are getting ready to try to go conquer the promised land. And he says something similar, but the context is that if they've been really bad kids, bad children, and God's allowed them to go into exile. Okay, in other words, he's put him in time out. I mean, big time time out, okay? He says this, but if from there, exile, you've been scattered out of your nation, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then we have Matthew 7:7, which is part of our passage for tonight, where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Now, here's the thing, we love to quote that verse. But when we quote that verse, most of the time we're quoting that verse like, I need something from God. So if I ask, he'll give it to me. If I seek, he'll let me find it. If I knock, he'll open that door and he'll give it to me. It does include that. But keep in mind, in the Sermon on the Mount, all this stuff about prayer is about our relationship with God. I would say one of the primary, not the only way, but one of the primary ways to apply that promise is ask for a closer relationship with God. Spend that time with Him and you will receive. Seek God and His presence and a better relationship and all that He has for you, and you will find it. Knock on the door and God lets you in at home. Okay? And you'll build a better relationship. So again, prayer is effective when we come to God as Father, seeking to grow in our relationship with Him. And then letter B, seeking His agenda, not ours. Seeking His agenda, not ours. Again, we love to take these promises out of context. Well, the Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Okay, well, I'm asking for a Cadillac, and I'm asking for this, and I'm asking for that. And, you know, maybe God gives us some things we ask for and not others. And you know, if two or three agree, God will give it to you. And all these other promises we love to pull out of context. But the context is relationship. And the context is we're praying for what God desires to give to us. You say, that's no fun. Well, God's only going to give you what he wants to give you anyway. All right? But it's seeking his agenda and not just ours. Again, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about prayer, what is it that he's telling us we should be praying about? Relationship. But Matthew 6:33, right before our passage, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these other things that we need to pray about, all these other things that we need in our lives, okay? And it's talking about needs, not all of our wants. Shelter, clothing, food, all that kind of thing. He says, listen, if you will seek God's agenda, if you will seek what he's wanting to do in and through you, he's going to take care of it all, okay? It lines right up with another verse we love to quote, and this is a good one, two verses, 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have toward God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. He says, listen, just come and ask me anything that is part of my plan for you. Just ask, I'll give it to you. Okay? Again, the idea of looking at this all in context. Jump back to Matthew chapter 6. The passage we looked at last week, we didn't get into this part, but what we call the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And I told you last week, I want to do a series on this, either on Wednesday night or Sunday, sometime soon, about living and praying and living the Lord's Prayer. So we're not going to dig deeply into it, but look at what it is that Jesus tells us we should pray about. What should be the substance of what we're praying about? We all know it, right? Verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let's just stop there for right now. But what is it that we're actually praying for here? We're praying for his agenda, not ours. On your note sheet, I have it this way. We're praying for his honor. For his honor. Verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, may your name, who you are, be treated as holy. May I treat you as holy. May my life demonstrate that you are holy. Okay? The second thing there is his kingdom. He says, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The third one is his will. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You say, well, his kingdom, his will, isn't that kind of the same thing? Yeah, there's a lot of overlap there. One of the ways I kind of like to look at it is God's kingdom is his rule and reign in this world. That whatever it is that God wants will be established in this world. And one day it will be perfectly 100%. But in the meantime, we're praying, God, may your kingdom continue to be established. And then his will obviously is involved in that, but I see that as more personal. Lord, may your will be done in my life. Okay? So we're praying about his agenda, not ours. And even when we get to the rest of it, on your note sheet there, our physical needs, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and then our spiritual needs for forgiveness and help with temptation and evil. This is God's agenda for us. This is what he knows is best for us. If we want to be effective in prayer, we come to God as our Father, seeking to grow in our relationship with him, but also seeking his agenda. Saying, God, what is it you have for me? Okay, well, I want to honor you. I want to see your kingdom established in my life, in this world. I want to do your will. And God, I'm asking that you provide for my needs. You've promised to do that. My spiritual needs, my physical needs. Okay? That's how prayer will be effective. Because we come to God as a Father in relationship, knowing he wants to do in our lives what's best for us, knowing he wants to grow closer to us and us to grow closer to him, knowing he wants to meet our needs, knowing he wants to work in and through us to accomplish his purposes in the world. I tell you, if we can come to prayer and leave with the sense that this is what's happened, talk about feeling like my prayer was effective. That's powerful. Second thing here is prayer is effective when we come to God frequently. Frequently. Let's go back to our text. See, it's about time we get back to our text. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? And we're going to stop right there for right now, okay? When that says ask and you will receive, or ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. In the Greek language, and this is not going to be too deep, the way that's worded is ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Okay? Knock and keep on knocking. So on your note sheet, I put this, keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. So since Jesus is saying that we should keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, what does that indicate to us? Persistence. Yeah. In fact, that word is used in reference to prayer many times. Okay? We should be persistent in prayer. Jesus told a couple parables about persistence in prayer. In fact, we're going to read one in just a little bit. On your note sheet, I put it this way. We must persevere in prayer. What does it mean to persevere in prayer? Don't stop. Okay? Yeah? Okay? Yeah, I like the way Paul puts it. He says, pray without ceasing. Persevere. If you want to turn with me to Luke 18, if not, just listen. I'm going to read this one parable, several parables Jesus told about perseverance. But this one in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect him, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over him, over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So is Jesus trying to tell us that we need to keep bugging God because if we bug him enough, he's going to give us what we want? No. Okay, so what is Jesus trying to tell us about persevering in prayer here? Okay, it's a sign of faith if we keep asking God until we get his response. All right? In fact, I think that's why Jesus said what he did at the end. He says, nevertheless, will the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I think it's basically, will I find people who just keep trusting God and keep praying and keep seeking him, you know, for his will, for whatever it is that we come to God for? Now, that raises a question, though. If God's a good, loving, heavenly Father, and we're his kids, and he wants to meet our needs, why do we have to persevere in prayer? Why can't we just ask him once and he gives it to us? Okay, it strengthens our faith, and it demonstrates our faith. Okay? Push. Pray until something happens. Okay, well, why does it take so long for something to happen if God really loves us? Because it's not in his time. Okay, we have to wait for his time. All right, Chris and then Lynn. Clear, Chris? That's true. If we got everything we wanted immediately when we got it, we would certainly take advantage of God and take him for granted, and like we said, treat him like a remote control. Okay, Lynn, what were you going to say? All right, there's a list of reasons, a number of reasons why when we bring the request is not the right time for it to be answered. Okay, and not just the reasons why, but as you mentioned, spiritual warfare. Our prayer, a whole another aspect of our prayer is spiritual warfare. And Daniel is a great example. It talks about how he prayed, and God sent the answer immediately, but Daniel didn't know anything about it for I think it was 21 days, something like that, because there was a battle in the heavenlies going on. Okay. Not only that, but as Lisa said, God's timing. We're praying for something, and God says, yeah, I want to give that to you, but not yet. We're going to dig into that more in 2 weeks, that sometimes God says, okay, I like your request, but not yet. Not yet. Okay, he knows there's a reason why you need to wait, all right, for the answer. But in the meantime, he wants us to keep coming back to him. All right, it shows our dependence on him. It shows our faith in him. It shows our sincerity. It shows how important it is. I mean, this is a real practical thing, but, you know, when your kids were, if you're past this point, when your kids were growing up or your grandkids, if they asked for something kind of offhand and then just kind of let it go, was it the same thing as if they kept asking you over and over and over, I really want to, you know, you can tell how serious they are about something that they want and how important it is to them, right? Okay. Sometimes God's like, yeah, I'm ready to do that for you, but there's a piece that has to fall into place over here, and it has to do with your brother or your sister or somebody you don't even know. And so I'm working on that. You just keep praying about it because I'm working on it. And we say this many times, you know, God doesn't need our permission to do anything. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But he has so set up this world in reality in the spiritual realm that there are certain things that he does when we ask, when we pray, when we, you know, he holds himself back because he wants us to be involved with him to carry out his plans and purposes. So our prayers are so important. And sometimes it's that prayer over and over that's breaking down walls, that's pushing things along in ways that we don't see. And sometimes it's doing stuff in us that we don't see to bring us to the place where we're ready for the answer. Sometimes we're not ready for the answer yet. Okay? A lot of different reasons why we need to persist. And it's not just because God says, I'm not going to do it till you nag me enough. Okay? You got to force me. That's not it at all. In fact, you know, when Jesus tells this parable, he says, if an unjust judge will give in, how much more will your loving Heavenly Father do what's good and what's right? Because he wants to, not because he's being bugged. All right? Yeah, Leland, you had your hand up. That's a good point, that the process of persisting in prayer changes us. We grow closer to God. We're more dependent on him. We mature. All those things. You know, sometimes God has a much bigger goal in mind than we do for whatever we're praying about. Yeah, Lynn. Amen. That's a good point. You know, we can have relationship without having fellowship. In other words, we have relationship because we're related to somebody, but we don't ever really spend time with them. The way I've been using relationship tonight, I'm talking about a good relationship, a close relationship. You know, that's what prayer is supposed to lead to. But that's very important. You know, if as soon as we brought something to God, he answered it. And, you know, how much time would we spend with God? You know, we're just like kids, aren't we? We really are. We really are. On your note sheet here, another point to make on this about keeping on, it's don't be discouraged. It says Jesus told this parable specifically to tell his disciples, don't be discouraged. Keep on seeking God. God's at work. Stay close to him. Ask him. He's going to bring about what's good, what's right. You know, the word justice is what is right. And so he said, God's going to bring about what's right in his timing. You just keep seeking him. Okay, so don't get discouraged if you don't see the answer you think should be coming right away. Because letter B on your note sheet, God always answers genuine prayer. Always. Now, the answer isn't always what we want, but he always answers genuine prayer. That's why he says, ask and you will. He didn't say you might. You will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Now, when we come back to this lesson in 2 weeks, we'll talk about why the answer isn't always yes, and what the other answers are, and why they're that way, and what God's trying to do. Okay, so this is a good place for us to stop tonight, and in 2 weeks, we'll pick it back up. Okay, so again, keeping on, we're talking about effective prayer. Effective prayer isn't just being able to come to God, give me your list, and he checks them all off and gives you what you want. Effective prayer is all about relationship, building that relationship, having a good relationship, as Lynn said, having fellowship with God, becoming the person he created us to be, cooperating with him to see his purposes and plans fulfilled in this world. That is effective prayer, okay? And so we're going to look at the next two when we get back to this in 2 weeks. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had tonight in your word. And God, I pray that to whatever degree our idea and perception of prayer is skewed, because I think it's probably true for all of us, Lord, even for me, whatever, it's so easy to think, well, I got to go to God and ask him for this. And God, I thank you that we can come to you and ask you for anything. You love us. You care about us. You want to meet our needs. You want to work in our lives. But Father, help us to get way beyond that, to where we just need to spend time with our Father. Grow close to you and learn from you. And you got so much wisdom to give us. And Lord, you want to work with us to accomplish your purposes and plans in this world. And you want to change us and make us better people. And you want to give us the best, what's absolutely best for us, Lord God. And you know what's absolutely best for us. So Father, I pray that we would be so focused on spending time with you just to spend time with you, not just to get what we want. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.